Joining me now is Jonathan Stevenson, a senior fellow for counterterrorism at the International Institute for Strategic Studies in London. Mr. Stevenson, these attacks were aimed not only at Western interests, but also against the Saudi royal family. Is that right?
Reports are unclear, but it appears to be possible that that was the case, which certainly scans with the larger agenda of al-Qaeda and sympathetic groups.
You mentioned al-Qaeda. Secretary of State Colin Powell says these attacks have the earmark of al-Qaeda. In what way? Can you explain that?
Well, there were several simultaneous attacks involving car bombs, which are reminiscent of the attacks that were confirmably staged by al-Qaeda on the U.S. embassies in East Africa in 1998. But I think the simultaneity of the attacks and the fact that there would be pre-existing al-Qaeda infrastructure, and there are now reports that the lion's share of the terrorists who are being sought were indeed Saudi, I think those factors and the political realities, the U.S. presence and general Western influence in Saudi Arabia is probably al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden's most serious grievance against the United States and the West.
So is there any doubt that al-Qaeda was involved in this?
I don't think there's much doubt that al-Qaeda was involved on some level. It may not have been al-Qaeda operatives who were trained in Afghanistan who actually perpetrated the terrorist operation in Saudi Arabia, but it's quite possible and probably likely that al-Qaeda somehow exerted influence over any local group that might have done the heavy lifting of that kind of operation, which, of course, is increasingly the way al-Qaeda operates since the group was dispersed by virtue of the U.S.-led intervention in Afghanistan.
Do these attacks in Saudi Arabia provide any evidence that Osama bin Laden may still be operating and ordering terrorist attacks against the U.S.?
You could say that it was inferential evidence that an al-Qaeda leadership still has some degree of operational influence over what group sympathetic to it would do. I think perhaps the more salient point is that it indicates the U.S. intervention in Iraq could well have stimulated a greater degree of transnational Islamic terrorist activity and perhaps even greater impetus towards broader Islamic radicalization, which was the fear of a number of parties who opposed the war, in particular France.
Yeah. These attacks were carried out by suicide bombers. Is there really any way to stop a suicide bomber?
It's pretty difficult. Obviously, use of a suicide bomber eliminates any risk of law enforcement authorities gathering intelligence after the operation. Certainly, the fact that people are motivated by religious absolutes rather than by some more tactical motivations to get people to a bargaining table makes them a much harder type of group to deter.
Would you say that there should be concern now that we'll be seeing more of these?
I really would. I think that one of the medium or long-term impulses of the United States in intervening in Iraq was to eliminate the need for U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia, which it viewed as having a positive counter-terrorist effect. That may well be true, but in the shorter term, the fact remains that the U.S. footprint in the Gulf has, in fact, gotten bigger rather than smaller. And at this stage, terrorists of al-Qaeda's ilk are really concerned not just with the U.S. presence in Saudi Arabia, but with its wider influence throughout the Islamic world and in particular in the Persian Gulf.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Jonathan Stevenson is a senior fellow for counterterrorism at the International Institute for Strategic Studies in London.